You know, often our highest victories are followed by some of our deepest valleys. How many of us know this to be true in our own lives? Often, sometimes, some of our highest victories are followed by some of our deepest valleys. And tonight, as we look at this pair, Cleopas and his companion, quite possibly his wife, we see that Cleopas and his companion were really experiencing just that. I mean, in a week, they had gone from the triumph to the tomb. That's a pretty big swing, amen? They had gone from the triumphal entry when Jesus entered Jerusalem and the people greeted him with palm branches and with shouts, Hosanna, Hosanna. They had gone from a triumph to the tomb. And the height of all that they had hoped for, they had seen buried, locked away, and they had walked away in despair. You know, it's not too uncommon for the devil to want to come after us, especially when we've seen God do tremendous things in our life. Church, watch out. Because as soon as we want to do something for God, and as soon as we make ourselves available for God to work in us and for God to work through us, I tell you, the devil's not going to stand idly by and allow that to take place. It's no wonder that at the radio station that we have incidents more or less surrounding twice a year. It's no accident, I think, that a lot of this illness and a lot of this congestion and respiratory stuff, it strikes us right around before, during, and after what we were trying to accomplish at the Easter cantata. You know, there were a number of choir members and a number of people in the drama who were battling through some things on those nights. You determine to get your marriage right with God, and the devil will come after your highest highs and try to take you to the lowest lows. You come to make a decision for God at the altar. I can't tell you how many times I have gotten up from an altar feeling like I was on the top of a mountain, only to go back to my seat, and before I had gotten to my car, the devil had begun to tear me down on the inside. You think of the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples up there, the highest of highs. They came down and they were met with a demon that the disciples were powerless to cast out. They couldn't understand it, the lowest of lows. So tonight, something that's very applicable for all of us. And if you're not there tonight, let me encourage you, file it away, you will be. How to return to holy heartburn. I'll work it in somehow. Roman numeral 1, if you're taking notes with me tonight, the awful lows. The awful lows. We've mentioned the struggle that Cleopas and his friend were going through. They were distraught. The idea that they had when Jesus asked what manner of communications they had in verse number 17, it wasn't just the idea that they were having a just kind of idle discussion. This wasn't just driving chatter. They weren't playing the license plate game or trying to identify desert animals along the highway. They were struggling. It was a heated, it was a distraught conversation and communication. They just couldn't wrap their minds around what had happened. And these two were experiencing a pretty awful low. Why was it? Why was it? How was it that the devil was able to get them there? Well, a dulled awareness. A dulled awareness. They couldn't see. Look at verses 15 and 16. The Bible says that it came to pass that while they continued together and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They're talking about Jesus. They're crying over Jesus. They're trying to figure out, what is the deal with Jesus? Is he really the conqueror? Or is he a success? Is he a failure? What in the world is happening? Jesus himself walks up and they don't even realize it. The idea of holden means that their eyes were restrained or held in check. Now, the idea of being a slow learner. I'm not asking how you did in algebra, okay? But how many of us tonight would say, you know what, spiritually sometimes I'm kind of a slow learner. You know, I mean, if it were a snake, it would have bit me. If it were a stove, it would have burnt me. But I am kind of a slow learner sometimes spiritually. Can I encourage you tonight? You're not alone. The disciples who literally turned the world upside down for Christ, they were pretty slow spiritual learners too. Luke chapter 9, Jesus is trying to explain this to them. Luke chapter 9 and verse 44, he says this to them. Turn with me in your Bibles if you could. Luke chapter 9 and verse 44. We have it on the screen now. He says, let these sayings sink down in your ears. In other words, Jesus prefaces this. He says, gentlemen, listen up. Listen up. Go get a cup of coffee. Go IV yourself with espresso. Don't miss this. The Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. That seems pretty clear to me. Look at verse 45. But they understood not this saying. And it was hid from them. And they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of that saying. You want to marvel? Look at how many times Jesus told them, I'm going to die. I'm going to Jerusalem to die. And they're like, No, I don't get it. And you look at the disciples, and sometimes I marvel. I'm like, come on, guys. It's so, I mean, right there. But then I look at my own heart. And I think about how many times in my own life it's been right there. It's been right there. But I have been blind and I have been numb to what is really developing. And let me say this. This is not for a lack of honesty in our lives. Sometimes we really do want to get it. I don't think the disciples wanted to be ignorant to what Jesus was saying. I think they wanted it. It's not a lack of honesty, and it's not a lack of that we don't want to understand, but it's the realization that you and I have human limitations. We are not God. We are not God. And the truth is, no matter how wise we may be, no matter how long we may have studied Scripture, no matter how long we may have followed Christ, Isaiah 55 and verse number 8 still tells us that God's thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are His ways my ways. You know, the next verse, verse number 9, tells us, for as the heavens are high above the earth. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen, there is no comparison. And why is it that we experience awful lulls? Sometimes it's just simply because of our dull awareness. We are not physically or spiritually able to comprehend in the moment what God is doing. But I remind us tonight that this is why it is so important that we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, Cleopas and his companion couldn't see it. What I marvel at when I read this is that they say, it is the third day. And my mind immediately goes to, okay, the third day, what happened? He arose. Not only did they know it was the third day, but there were rumors all around that Jesus had done what? That he had risen. And I want to say, Cleo, buddy, you couldn't stay for brunch? I mean, you couldn't wait 6 more hours to see what was going to happen? Seriously. But sometimes we have to understand that we just can't always see it. And that's okay because you don't need to. In God's economy, for God's people, we walk by faith and not by sight. So many times our awful lows can be caused by our dulled awareness. It can also be caused by our disappointed assumptions. You know, these men, Cleopas and his companion, whoever it was, were intensely discussing how that they had hoped and expected that Jesus would be the one who would have redeemed Israel, verse number 21. What do they mean by that? They meant that Jesus would have come in, that he would have killed all of the Romans, and he would have set up Israel as the kingdom to rule the entire earth. By the way, that's coming. That's coming. You better make sure you're aligned with the King of Kings before that day comes, because when that day comes, it's too late, partner. But they expected Jesus to set up shop now. And you look at these people. Put verse 21 back up if we could. Notice what they say. But we, what's that next word? Trusted. What tense is that? Past. It was almost as if they had buried their expectations with Jesus in the grave. And that which they had hoped and that which they had expected had failed to come to pass. By the way, their hope had died because they were searching for it in the wrong place. You're not going to find the living among the dead, but that's a different message. Sometimes in life, expectations are tough to shift. It's tough to realign what we had hoped, what we had prayed for, what we had desired, what we had worked towards for what God has actually ordained to do. I mean, even after the resurrection, the disciples struggled with this. You look at just before Jesus ascended in Acts chapter 1, and what are the disciples asking? Acts chapter 1, verse number 6. They said, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So, okay, so you died, you were buried, you rose. How about now? How about now? Do we get the kingdom now? I mean, these guys were so fixated that the kingdom was coming that they struggle with what God was actually doing. I tell you, sometimes we pray so hard for health, or we pray so hard for deliverance. We pray so hard for somebody that we love or somebody that we care about to be delivered from some addiction or some snare, for somebody to get right with God. We pray so hard and we expect God to do one thing. I tell you, sometimes it's hard because we cannot see to realign our expectations with what God is actually bringing to pass. And I tell you, I'm so glad that God works the way He does. I'm so glad that God in His providence and God in His mercy had ordained for the church that He didn't set up that kingdom there in Acts chapter 1. I am so glad that we have the great privilege to serve God even today. God's ways are always the best ways. Sometimes we suffer awful lows, don't we? And our hearts almost seem to ache and die within us. It is only natural for us to experience disappointment when expectations are not met. Proverbs 13 and verse 12 reminds us this: hope deferred maketh the heart sick. But the tremendous truth that Cleopas reminds us of tonight is that no matter your situation, God is always at work, just not always in the places or ways that you would expect. You know, there were some women and there were some disciples that were looking for him in an empty tomb, and he was walking down a dusty road. God is always at work. We walk by faith. So we see the awful lows. Secondly, we see the authentic light, the real authoritative light. Look at verses 25 through 30. We'll read this together. Then he, that's Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and would have made as though they would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as they sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to them. You know, they were experiencing an awful low, but even in their low, God gave them light. Amen? Even in their lowest point, God gave them light, and more than enough of it. Hey, there is always light available for us, believers. There is always light. Where is that light? That light is found in our comprehensive learning, our learning of the Scriptures. You know, what Jesus did was Jesus, before he gave them an answer, don't miss this, he adjusted their question. He adjusted their question. Look what he did in verse number 26. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He said, look, guys, you're asking the wrong question. Let me help you with how you're going to frame it to get the help that you actually need. And then the Bible says that he took the Scriptures and expounded unto them from all the Scriptures, beginning at Moses and to all the prophets. He adjusted their question, and then he opened up the whole of Scripture. And he showed them from the Psalms, from Isaiah, as early as Genesis 3:15, that the Messiah was not just to be a deliverer, but that he would also be delivered up. You know, you think even back Genesis 3:15, the promise to Eve, the prophecy that the serpent, that there would be enmity between the seed of the woman and the serpent, and that the serpent would bruise his heel. Even back in Genesis, there is the picture of a suffering Messiah. And so Jesus took all of the Scriptures and began to show them how Messiah was a deliverer, yes, but that he was also to be delivered up as a sacrifice for all. If there's anything that you and I need in our times of low, it is the whole counsel of God. You know, the Bible is an amazing book of spiritual light. We all know it, Psalm 119, 105. Say it with me. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible is an amazing book of spiritual light. It is an amazing book that gives a realistic, balanced picture of what the Christian life is all about. It speaks about both the power of God and the pain that we suffer in this life. It speaks both of the promises and the persecution that we may experience, the peace and the persecution. And only the Bible is able to cut through all of the culture and all of the confusion, all of our dullness, and all of our disappointed expectations to deliver us a distinct and direct focus. Only the Bible, Hebrews 4:12, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder soul and spirit. Only the Bible, the Scriptures tell us, is able to sanctify and grow us in the things of God. John 17:17. Jesus says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Only the Bible is able to increase our faith. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we're struggling with light, we need to open up that which is light, the Word of God. A comprehensive learning to understand all the counsel of God and that it is sufficient for our whole life, principle and precept. The light comes from our comprehensive learning, but it also comes from His complete leading. I love this. They got to the house and they begged Jesus to stay. They went inside to eat. Now, who traditionally sits at the head of the table? The head of the house. Whomever that may be. The head of the house. So they invite Jesus to come in and be their guest for the evening. And I love Jesus. He goes and sits at the head of the table, grabs the bread, blesses it, and breaks it. I mean, that would be like inviting somebody out to dinner with you after church tonight and them saying, okay, and getting in the driver's seat of your car. We just don't do that. We just don't do that. But I love what Jesus did. When Jesus will not force himself on anybody. Jesus isn't going to beat you over the head and make you accept the gospel. If you choose to reject him and die and go to hell, he will love you. And the Bible says that he is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. But he won't save you against your will. But understanding, when we do invite Jesus in, he's there not to be our guest, but to be our God. To sit at the head of our table. To be behind the wheel in our life. And Jesus here, he gets invited in and he took the role as host. And what amazes me is that neither Cleopas nor his companion seemed to raise any objection. I mean, most of us would have been like, well, actually that spot right there. I mean, you were real good on the road and we appreciated the conversation. But that's my seat. And I say that because we do it all the time. I guarantee you, if we search our hearts tonight, there's an area in which God has been leading us in which we have been reluctant to follow. Can I boil it down? We're saying, Jesus, that's my seat. Jesus, that's my seat. And in each of our lives, there are areas where God is leading and God is working. How do I know this? Because haven't any of us arrived? He's still working on every single one of us. And there are areas in our lives where we are reluctant to give in. But we see here for Cleopas and his companion, not only was it their learning, but it was his leading. And the truth about the light that God wants to give us for our lows is that if we want his presence, we must be willing to relinquish our position. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reminds us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The book of Psalms, Psalm 146, 3 through 5, says, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, and he returneth to the earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. If we want light in our lows, if we want his help, we have to go to that which is light and be led by he who is light. Because God is light, the Bible says, and in him is no darkness at all. For our awful lows, God provides us with authentic light that will always lead us, number three, back to the abundant life. You know, the lows are a natural part of life. They are. Some of us ride the roller coaster more than others. Some of us seem stuck down in the ditch sometimes. Some of us seem stuck on top. Both can be equally frustrating. But I'm telling you, for every low that we experience, God provides light to lead us back to the abundant life. Look at verses 31 through 33. The Bible reminds us, and their eyes were open. When Jesus broke the bread, I believe when he broke the bread, they saw the nail prints. I believe when he broke the bread, they saw the nail prints, and their eyes were open. They saw Jesus. Their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened the scriptures to us? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him. For every low, there is always light to lead back to the abundant life. I believe it. I don't care how low you are. God's light is able to reach your low. God's light is able to reach your struggle. God's light speaks to your need. And God's light always leads us. The Bible says that the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. We see here God grants them a personal revelation. Against the backdrop of their learning and against the backdrop of his leading, Jesus is revealed as he broke the bread and blessed it. And they began to realize in that moment that this was Jesus. And that all of their hope was not lost. That all of their expectations were not perished and were not wrong. That they weren't without hope. That they weren't without help. That they weren't without recourse. That revelation that Jesus lives. And understanding the risen Savior tonight, be reminded that Jesus lives. And that he is all in all. That by him, all things consist. That he is the first and the last. Revelation 1 in verse number 8. And that as we allow his word and his will to have free reign, that he will reveal himself and his will to us through the course of his word and our everyday life. You know, if I were Jesus and I had just risen from the dead, and I've said many times it's a good thing I'm not, because I would have had all sorts of things on my agenda that are pretty shallow and petty. But if I had 40 days to declare my resurrection to the world, I don't think I would have spent a day of it walking with two people that we had never heard of before to a place that we will never hear of again. I don't think I would have. But you know what it shows me? As Jesus took the time to walk 6, 7, 8 miles, as Jesus took the time to lodge with them, as Jesus took the time to break bread with them, it reminds me that Christianity and the way God wants to grow me and the way God wants to use me is not a Sunday, Wednesday thing. Christianity is a 24/7, 365. And we cannot compartmentalize it into a couple hours a week. You know, I really believe that's why in the book of Deuteronomy, when God gives his advice on parenting, and by the way, God's advice is probably a lot more than advice. That's another sermon for another time. But what was God's instruction? That they do it as they walked in the way, and as they sat, and as they rose. In other words, your every occasion of your every day is an opportunity to know me and make me known. An opportunity to know me and make me known greater than ever before. Do we look at our life like that? If we live in that light, we have that abundant life opportunity to have God revealed more to us every day, 24/7, 365. And that personal revelation demands a practical response. We see immediately after the Lord had revealed himself that Cleopas and his companion recognized who he was, recognized what he had done. They said, did not our hearts burn within us? But they realized then that what he had done in their souls demanded a response in their steps. The Bible says that that very hour they got up and did what? Returned to Jerusalem. Immediately upon recognizing and responding to the revelation, the word that God had spoken to them. Their lives, when we meet them at the beginning, they're frustrated. They're upset. Their shoulders are down. Their tones are sharp. There's no life. There's no passion. There's no purpose. There's no zeal. There's murky confusion, and that's it. But when we leave them, in verse number 32, in verse number 33, he said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us? Verse number 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to the Jerusalem. We see in verse 34 and 35, they proclaimed the good news. That immediately their life was filled with passion and with power and with purpose. And that's what happens when believers dare to live how God has instructed and led them to live. You know, the Bible makes us blessable. It's not that God doesn't love us. It's not that God doesn't delight in us or favor us. But there is a blessing that is reserved for those who know and do His will. Revelation demands a response. Life demands the light. The light demands that the life match it. You don't have to be super smart. You don't have to be wealthy at all. You don't have to have any skills. You simply have to be willing to see the light, respond to the light. Receive the light, respond to the light. Receive the light, respond to the light. You know, that's why we have a time of invitation. To give us an opportunity to respond to the light that if God has spoken, you don't have to come down here. But there's something about taking that step. It does something within us. It cements that, you know what, God has spoken and I'm going to respond. In a very practical way. That's why we give an invitation. That's why we have time of prayer. That's why we do the things that we do. It's because light, revelation, demands a response. I'll tell you, one of my favorite Old Testament stories is Balaam and the donkey. You have the prophet of God, and you have a, right, God prophet, I'll put him in quotation marks, and the dumb donkey. And who was used by God? Who was used by God? The dumb donkey. Why? Because when the dumb donkey saw the light, he responded to the light. And when he saw the light, he responded to the light. And when he saw the light, he responded to the light. If a donkey can do it, then why can't we, as born again, children of the King, simply respond to the light that God has given us? Have you ever felt the low? Have you ever struggled in your heart? It's been down, it's been dull, it's ached. Sometimes you don't even know why. It is a reality that we all face. But you know what God reminds us of here as we watch the risen Savior with Cleopas? We're reminded that no matter where you're at, even if you're headed in the wrong direction, even if you've quit just a little bit too early, that God still cares. And we see the risen Savior take Resurrection Sunday to walk to a nowhere place with no one people. God knows and cares. And tonight, here it is. I told you, we would find a way to work it in. There's a God in heaven who desires to take your heartbreak or your heart's burden, no matter what it is, and through His light, and through the life that He wants to give you, turn your heartbreak into His holy heartburn. Let's stand together. Father, we love You. And Father, we thank You.